Welcome to The Alternative Angle. Today, I'm joined by Mark Beeston, the managing partner and founder of Illuminate, a financial markets technology VC firm. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much for having me.
Mark, your career in the capital markets spans more than 25 years in a number of different roles and sides of the table. So it would be really good to learn about the genesis of Illuminate.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for starting with age. So I came into financial markets in '92 as a graduate trainee at Deutsche Bank, and I was there for the first half of my career through an amazing period of change and growth in that organization. And I'm fortunate that along the journey, I was supported by Deutsche to leave and establish a market infrastructure play that we would now call FinTech, a company called T0, and learnt along the way just how difficult and different it is being the entrepreneur selling back to managing directors, much as I had been back at the bank. And really, as part of that learning, the two core learnings were number one, the difficulty of that sale back to the large institution. But secondly, and really importantly, the thing that made us successful was very little to do with cutting edge tech and an awful lot to do with having the industry network to take the technology to. When we ended up selling that business to Intercontinental Exchange at the end of 2008, start of 2009, and I then ran the post-trade and information division at what was then ICAP. And we operated a corporate venture unit within my business there. And then sometime around 2013, I kept hearing myself with clients saying the same thing over and over again, which is, we've hit a moment of fundamental generational change within financial markets infrastructure, not actually driven by technology, but driven by a macroeconomic reaction to the prior financial crisis, which I guess we'll end up talking about later. And that was really kind of driven by an unprecedented industry deleveraging, a massive amount of global regulation, often non-contemporaneous and with overlapping jurisdictions and timelines. And then last but not least, the fact that the world had moved into a zero tolerance compliance environment. And when you kind of put that all together with the fact that there was an evolving, emerging new technology stack around big data and cloud and lots of other technologies that we've been talking about for the last decade, that really, I thought, just created a once-in-a-generation opportunity, and that's what led me to set Illuminate up as a specialist investor in enterprise financial markets technology with a strong focus on being really industry-connected to help companies find their clients and connect.
Networks are massively important when operating in early-stage venture capital. How have you leveraged your extensive network?
Okay, well, again, I'm definitely old enough that we would we'd refer to that as a Rolodex, and I think some of the younger team members that I work for kind of wonder what a Rolodex is. These days, we've all got an amazing LinkedIn network, and it's all incredibly informal. And every venture capitalist in the world tells you that they have an amazing network. I think the fundamental difference here is that the core DNA from the day we set Illuminate up was our aspirational target was we want to be the most value-added investor in our space that will actually work to help connect the companies that we are investing in and even the companies that we are considering investing in back to the end market. And so from day one, we went out of our way to formalize our industry network in a number of different ways. We set up a strategic industry partner program where we've worked with some major global and regional banks, as well as market infrastructure providers, giving them access to our pipeline and helping them find potential solutions to the myriad of problems that they face. That starts a virtuous cycle because it's actually allowed us to build a significantly sized global team in excess of that you'd associate with our AUM. That allows us to see more companies in more detail, but also market test our own thesis around those companies with some of the biggest players in the industry. That's then also echoed in how we approached building the investor base for our first fund. Our first fund was a £35 million target fund, and we raised £35 million, but 34 of it came from the sector. We had three multi-billion dollar corporates, two of them as anchor LPs, Deutsche Börse and IHS Market, and a stream of really high quality senior individuals from financial markets as well. Often heads of strategy of corporates that we'd pitched the fund to ended up investing personally. And that again gives us another formal network who we can kind of go to, test our thesis, access their connections to make introductions to our companies. And I'm pretty sure if you spoke to any of our CEOs, they would happily tell you that we are really making a difference in terms of how we actively connect them into the market.
What were your experiences during previous macroeconomic shocks like 2008 and 9/11? And how did you navigate the uncertainty?
So, well, if I answer that question almost in reverse order, the navigating uncertainty is exactly what it is. It's it is navigating uncertainty, and you have to do it by being very much on your feet. There's the old Mike Tyson quote, of course, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. And of course, 9/11 is actually a really, really great illustration of that. I was COO of the global rates trading division at Deutsche Bank at the time. We, of course, had, immaculate business continuity planning. And of course, the first thing that happened when 9/11 hit was all the planes got grounded. And it just so happened that the entire non-COO management of the global markets division were on their way to an offsite. So they all got grounded in somewhere in Central America and were completely out of touch, which meant that, your BCP, effectively almost becomes ripping out the back page of the BCP plan, which is the list of everyone's contact numbers, and working out how you deal with it on the fly. Now, that's actually pretty well illustrated in the challenging time in which we see ourselves now, right? Everybody had a great BCP plan. Everybody had a backup site, maybe more than one backup site. Nobody planned for the idea that we might end up with a global health pandemic that resulted in, your workforce of 100,000 people working from 100,000 different locations with all of the challenges and, of course, opportunities that creates. 2008, I think, was something different again. 2008 was obviously very much a financially driven crisis, and there, you're not dealing with an event. I think 9/11 was an event crisis, and whilst it's a protracted event, COVID is an event crisis. But 2008 was very different. That was about the fundamental challenge of the security of the financial system itself, and that was a very different navigation with a very different set of aftershocks. Interestingly, one of the things that kind of came out of the 2008 aftershocks was the exact change in macroeconomic environment that I just spoke to earlier, that ultimately led to the genesis of Illuminate itself. So out of crisis comes learning opportunities and comes opportunity. And whilst we find ourselves obviously in a very dark space right now with a lot of people suffering, and we should always remember that, there will be light at the end of the tunnel, and I think there are already clear opportunities starting to fall.
You are very hands-on and practical investors at Illuminate. What are you doing right now to manage the current situation, both internally and with regards to staying connected with your portfolio companies, pipeline, and wider network?
So I think some of what we're doing is very similar to what you'd expect any venture investor to be doing. I mean, clearly, you know, challenge number one is making sure that the wheels stay on your existing portfolio. Now, we're very lucky in that, you know, we are invested in enterprise fintech. We're not invested in fickle consumer, you know, behavior driven solutions, or, you know, the travel and leisure industry, both of which are obviously peer groups, you know, along which our 2015-16 vintage fund will ultimately be assessed. But you know, when an event of this magnitude comes along, it is literally like someone took the portfolio as a deck of cards and threw it up in the air. If you had a high growth company that was also a high burn company that only had 8 months worth of runway, that's probably gone from being a mid top quartile business or lower top quartile business to a top of the bottom quartile business. If you had a business that 6 months ago raised 18 months worth of money and then failed to deliver any growth since then, it's gone from being a bottom quartile business to a bottom of the top quartile business, because right now it's cash is king, right? How are we going to manage our runway through a period of transition? You have to expect that a lot of enterprise decisions around purchasing are going to get pushed out by months or quarters. And you need to be focused on having a really good plan of what you're going to do with that block of time to be able to actually get back on a growth track to then allow you to actually access further funding down the path. So there's an element of triage and coaching and, you know, crossing over best practices that we're getting from, you know, the industry and also within the portfolio. You know, the good news is actually we've seen people continue to sell in this space, which might be quite surprising. And some businesses are going to emerge, and I say this for kind of the portfolio venture, you know, in general, rather than just our portfolio. Some businesses are going to emerge on much steeper potential adoption trajectories coming out of this, because they just happen to have the right product at the right time. Some are going to emerge on flatter trajectories, and some, of course, won't survive. And so, you know, navigating that and helping people find their way through it has to be job one.
What are the challenges that some of your portfolio companies are facing at the moment, and how are you helping them overcome these?
Well, I think, challenge number one, obviously, was the incredibly rapid transition into a, you know, distributed workforce. And, we were quite fortunate in that we were fairly ahead of the curve in that we were engaging our portfolio at the start of March and telling them, you know, you should run tests. Illuminate itself was moving to work from home from the end of the first week in March, and we passed that on and our learnings to the portfolio. And I think that definitely helped them in some cases get ahead of the curve. You know, one of the things that's actually really key is also actually, you know, managing ongoing fundraisings. You know, we have 11 remaining companies in Fund One. Four of those companies had ongoing externally led or focused fundraisings in flight at the time that Italy went into lockdown and COVID started to become a Western world issue. I'm pleased to say, as we're kind of recording this in the middle of April, and two of those four have now closed, including one very high profile one, and we have the two remaining ones are still in flight, which is great news. But helping to kind of navigate, you know, fundraising, which is, you know, always a challenge in ordinary times, is a much more interesting situation in these troubled times.
We've seen a big change in the way in which people do business just now. Are there any investments that you've made over the years into specific technology sectors that have been validated by the current situation, or the perhaps longer term trends in how we are going to transact in the future?
So I think there's a couple of different ways to answer that. But I'd start by saying, I think the world is changing so rapidly, it would be very foolish to kind of start high-fiving ourselves if we've got some things that feel right in the portfolio right now. I mean, one thing that we can say for sure, though, is that the future of work is not returning to our old definition of normal. You're already talking to major financial services companies that, used to have two large buildings in central London and now suddenly realizing actually, transitioning to one and a more flexible working practice, is the way that they are going to want to be. Of course, none of us know today how we're coming out of COVID, when we're coming out of COVID, and what the world looks like on the other side of that. But certainly one thing that it definitely looks like is that the future of BCP is planning to have to enable your entire workforce to work from home for protracted periods, whether that's because we end up going into a second period of lockdown because of the current outbreak or because this becomes an annual event, or just being prepared for something else that may not be until another 100 years down the line. So solutions that are helping to address that future of work are definitely good solutions to be in right now. Of course, in financial markets, one of the big challenges has been the volatility of markets. And, we're very fortunate in that we have a collateral play in the form of Cloud Margin in Fund 1. We have another collateral play in the form of Baton Systems in Fund 2. And, the importance of the collateral space as a key risk mitigant right now and liquidity management at the heart of that is also a really, really key space. So I'm very excited about the opportunities for both of those companies in the long term. But even so, they will not be immune from a delay in signing new contracts that we think will hit most companies. I think one thing that we can say, and perhaps to kind of close out on, is there's a lot of talk about digitization. It kind of frustrates me. We already work in a digital financial services. So when people talk about digitization, I really like to remind them that we're talking about digitization 2.0 rather than digitization. And there's a meme that did the rounds about 3 weeks ago that did the rounds certainly at Illuminate. And it asked the question, who's driving the current wave of digitization within your financial services organization? Is it number one, the CEO, number two, the CTO, or number three, COVID-19? And of course it is COVID-19. We were slow as an industry to adopt big data, to adopt public cloud. That has started, but it's going to move a lot faster from here. And so notwithstanding the short hiatus in purchasing that we expect to see, I think that the digitization 2.0 of our industry is about to go on a major fast track. And that's a really exciting place to be.
Some of today's most well-known tech companies were set up in times of crisis. Are there any examples you could point to where you've invested in a portfolio company,
or perhaps more broadly,
that demonstrates this?
I can't point to a portfolio company that I've invested in, but what I can say is that Illuminate is effectively only the fourth job or fourth role that I've had in my career. I've had two large company jobs at Deutsche and ICAP, and I've effectively ended up launching two initiatives, Illuminate being one of them, and T0 being the other. Both were in relation to what came up following a crisis. In the case of T0, that wasn't this kind of shock. It was an industry crisis around derivative trade processing, but a crisis at the level of which the Fed was starting to get involved and talking about shutting down a multi-trillion dollar industry. And we realized there was a way to solve that problem, and that led directly to the establishment of T0 as a subsidiary of the Creditex group. That was my first step into the entrepreneurial realm. And then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, Illuminate itself is a reaction to a global crisis. It took 5 years for the regulation to really start to hit post the global financial crisis of 2008. And in fact, you know, a number of that regulatory response is only just starting to make itself felt now, even as we're in 2020. But the macro operating environment change that resulted from the GFC is 100% what led to me establishing Illuminate in 2014.
Where do you see there being the greatest opportunity to invest within financial markets technology, given that you're investing in VC at Series A? Your time horizons are pretty long term. So has this changed very much from the pre-corona era?
Well, so I'll start by being slightly contrarian on that one, if you don't mind, because one of the ways that I kind of annoy my team all the time is by saying long and often that we're not, in fact, a technology investor, when in fact everything that we invest in is technology. And whilst that sounds like a some sort of strange oxymoron, the reality is that whilst everything that we invest in is technology, we don't wake up in the morning thinking about technology for technology's sake, right? We wake up thinking about business problems and solutions to business problems, right? So we're thinking about collateral management challenges. We're thinking about delivery versus payment, know your client, anti-money laundering, et cetera, right? If the best solutions in the market lead us to a particular technology, be that distributed ledger or blockchain or artificial intelligence, right? Then, you know, then we're going to validate that that's the right technology for solving the problem that we've decided that we wanted to focus on. So firstly, it's not technology led; it's business problem led. One of the ways that we actually have looked at this throughout is what we really like is companies that are solving problems that are large in financial markets, with financial markets as a core target market, but which are potentially equally applicable to other industry verticals. And you know, we recently announced a large Series C investment from Warburg Pincus in Privitar, one of our Fund One companies that we'd done a late seed investment in. Privitar focused on data privacy. There's nothing fintech about it, but it is a absolutely great example of enterprise technology that is manifestly applicable to financial markets, but with also obviously implications for healthcare, e-commerce, telecoms, etc. So we like those kinds of things. As I mentioned, you know, we are really, really focused on opportunities that are both broadly applicable outside of financial markets, but also I think coming up out of the current environment, which is again still an evolving environment, future of work, which has been one of our focus areas in any event, has really kind of come to the fore. The other thing that actually is perhaps less obvious is we're also taking the opportunity to revisit companies that we didn't end up investing in that we wanted to invest in over the last 18 to 24 months. So companies that were previously high in our pipeline where we didn't invest because we thought that there wasn't enough commercial traction or an outside investor priced it too highly at the time, they may well have had time to grow into those valuations. The valuations may now be more realistic given the change in public markets that we've seen and what that implies for private market valuations. And they may have interest in reopening those rounds to create more runway. So we think there's actually a really interesting opportunity to go and look at the old veins of already identified gold that were perhaps not ones that we wanted to mine at a certain cost before, but may represent better value today.
Mark Beeston, Managing Partner and Founder of Illuminate Financial, thank you for joining me on The Alternative Angle.
Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.